In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump is visiting the cities of El Paso, Texas, where 22 people were killed, and Dayton, Ohio, where 8 people were killed in back-to-back mass shootings. Ahead of his trip, he spoke with reporters about how excited he was to congratulate law enforcement.
We're going to Dayton first, and then we're going to El Paso, and we'll be meeting with first responders, law enforcement, some of the victims, and paying my respects and regards. I'll be going with the First Lady, and it's a terrific opportunity, really, to congratulate some of the police and law enforcement. The job they've done was incredible, really incredible.
A reporter then challenged Trump's own rhetoric.
You and the shooter in El Paso use that same language. Do you regret that?
I think that illegal immigration, you're talking about illegal immigration, right? Yes? I think illegal immigration is a terrible thing for this country. I think you have to come in legally. Ideally, you have to come in through merit. We need people coming in because we have many companies coming into our country. They're pouring in. And I think illegal immigration is a very bad thing for our country. I think open borders are a very bad thing for our country.
That's Trump on Wednesday ahead of his trips to the sites of mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton, digging his heels in about his use of anti-immigrant language. Meanwhile, protesters lined the streets of Dayton, Ohio, ahead of Trump's visit with signs that read, "Dump Trump and do something," as well as a large Trump baby blimp of the kind that was popularized in Britain. In El Paso, where Trump is heading after Dayton, Congresswoman Veronica Escobar has made it clear that she does not support the president's visit and has refused to meet with him. She spoke with MSNBC's Chris Hayes about her reasoning.
Totally unsolicited from victims still in the hospital, as they'd grab my arm and tell him not to come here. Words are powerful, and words have consequences. And the words that he's used to dehumanize us, to dehumanize communities like mine, to dehumanize immigrants, they have a consequence, and they provide fuel for people who already are bigoted.
That's Congresswoman Veronica Escobar on her opinion of Trump as he gets ready to visit El Paso. Former Congressman Beto O'Rourke of El Paso has also clashed with Trump. Trump tweeted at O'Rourke to, quote, "be quiet," while O'Rourke shot back, "22 people in my hometown are dead. After an act of terror inspired by your racism, El Paso will not be quiet, and neither will I." CNN reported that the Trump campaign owes the city of El Paso $500,000 for reimbursements related to his February visit, where he held a political rally to make the case for his border wall. Joaquin Castro, another Texas representative, has come under fire for tweeting the names of Trump's top donors in his district. He listed all of the 44 donors who had given the Trump campaign the maximum allowable donations this year and wrote, quote, "their contributions are fueling a campaign of hate that labels Hispanic immigrants as invaders." Republican Senator Ted Cruz replied, saying that Castro's tweet was, quote, "hateful and partisan rhetoric," and accused him of vilifying and doxing his constituents. Cruz made no mention of Trump's hateful partisan rhetoric. Meanwhile, the White House announced that Trump was inviting the heads of top tech companies this Friday to meet with his administration officials to discuss the rise of violent extremism. The invitation was issued without a hint of irony and made no mention of Trump's own outsized contribution to the rise of violent extremism online. There was also no mention of which companies would be invited. On the issue of gun control, the Washington Post reported that Trump was, quote, "open to calling on Congress to return from recess to strengthen background checks for gun buyers," but that he sees no political appetite for banning assault rifles. While Trump had said similar things about supporting background checks after previous mass shootings, he threatened to veto bills that legislated the requirements of background checks. Former President Bill Clinton spoke up this week, tweeting, "How many more people have to die before we reinstate the assault weapons ban and the limit on high-capacity magazines and pass universal background checks? After they passed in 1994, there was a big drop in mass shooting deaths. When the ban expired, they rose again. We must act now." Meanwhile, Politico reported that the Trump administration has been quietly easing gun restrictions over the past 2 years, saying federal agencies have implemented more than half a dozen policy changes primarily through little-noticed regulatory moves that expand access to guns by lifting firearms bans in certain locations and limiting the names in the national database designed to keep firearms away from dangerous people. And eBay announced that it was banning the sales of assault rifle parts, but sellers already finding ways around the ban. The FBI has opened a domestic terrorism investigation into the shooting in Gilroy, California, which took place a week before the El Paso and Dayton shootings. The investigation was announced after law enforcement found a target list of religious institutions, federal buildings, and Democratic and Republican political organizations. A video of a black man being led by a rope through the streets of Galveston, Texas by horseback police has gone viral. The man, Donald Neely, had been arrested on suspicion of trespassing. The officers decided to parade him through the city, prompting denunciations for mimicking how captured enslaved people were humiliated through the streets in the 1800s. The Galveston mayor has apologized but insisted that his officers did not have, quote, malicious intent. In other news, a white man in Montana has been arrested for violently slamming the head of a 13-year-old boy against the sidewalk because a child did not take his hat off during the national anthem. The boy was hospitalized with skull fractures and bleeding from his ears. And 31-year-old Cyntoia Brown was released from prison after serving 15 years of a life sentence in Tennessee after she killed her rapist and sex trafficker at the age of 16. She was tried as an adult and sustained organized protest finally led to her release. Thousands of people protested in Tegucigalpa, Honduras this week against the rule of U.S. ally Juan Orlando Hernandez after it was revealed that his 2013 election campaign had been funded in part by drug money. According to Reuters, the Hernandez campaign received $1.5 million from drug proceeds that were used to bribe local officials in exchange for protection and the completion of public works. India's surprise decision to revoke the autonomous governing status of the northern state of Kashmir has sparked a rise in tensions with Pakistan. Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan worried that it might spark a war between the two nuclear states. U.S. officials flew to both nations to attempt to mediate. The tensions come at the same time that the U.S. has announced a deal with the Taliban in Afghanistan that it is relying on Pakistan to help implement. But Pakistan is now suggesting that tensions with India on its southern border will prevent it from focusing on its northern border with Afghanistan. Meanwhile, yet another bombing in Afghanistan has taken the lives of more than a dozen people in the capital, Kabul, and wounded nearly 150. The majority of the victims are women and children. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the deadly car bomb. And that does it for our news headlines today.